going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. Prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
And here we go, Digital Adele back with another Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard College to the Pros segment with my co-host, Matt Hanifin. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing excellent. Getting over this flu, still fighting the good fight, but I feel like I'll be back to my old self very, very, very soon. But we are going to talk one Dylan Harper after he played a game in New Jersey in front of a ton of NBA scouts, and he really showed out, man. I think, in my opinion, he's all but solidified that number two spot in the NBA draft, and it's going to be an exciting time for whatever team gets to draft that young guy. Wanted to talk about that, wanted to see what your thoughts are on that, and just kind of go through the Dylan Harper experience, which is been up and down at times this season. I know a lot of that was due to some, you know, illness related stuff and then some injuries on top of that. But what are your thoughts on Dylan Harper, and has he submitted himself as the number two overall pick in the 2025 NBA draft?
I've kind of had him number two most of the season, and so it's not, it hasn't been much different for me personally. But I think recently, yeah, he has, I think, cemented that. Like, I think for a while, like mid-December, early January, he was like, all right, this is a guy. This guy's like my clear number two. That's not a shot at Ace, or that's not a shot at Jakachonis.
Right.
Or even recently, as that's not a shot at VJ, because I know he's gotten some buzz as conference play has gone on. But I just think Harper, like, has exceeded. I think he's been the best of the bunch.
Right.
Even though, again, like the shot, the pull-up shooting, the form, that's been a concern, you know, most of the season. But him being able to navigate those tight spaces despite having poor spacing around him outside of Ace, his finishing at the rim, his craftiness, his defensive chops, his playmaking chops, like, I think all of that, it's offered him, like, a really high floor, but also has a really high ceiling because he is only 19 years old. Or at least I believe he's 19 years old. He's a freshman.
Right.
So he's kind of been my number two all along. And I think that gap for a little bit was closer than it was perceived to be. But I think he's kind of opened up that gap a little bit. Like, yeah, having, you know, 34 points on 4 of 8 shooting from deep against Washington, following that up with, you know, 25-9-6 against USC. Like,
right.
Washington and USC aren't the best defenses in the world, but those are huge, big-time performances.
Absolutely, and I think the bigger part of the matchup wasn't just the fact of the teams and who they were playing, but all the NBA scouts that were in the building.
Right.
The players know that. So like there's all this pressure on you to perform and to be your best self whenever that occurs. And I think he acquitted himself very, very well in that game. I mean, getting downhill, getting to the rim, facilitating. He had like six steals or something crazy in that game. He was everywhere in the passing lanes. And that's the most appealing part to me for Dylan Harper in the NBA, in that wide open space. He's going to be able to get downhill on those PNRs, facilitate, attack the basket. But then the stuff he does defensively, point of attack, defense in the passing lanes, I think that just absolutely cements his status at number two overall.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. Yeah, his point of attack defense is something that I've liked. I mean, again, like there were times, especially early in the season when I watched it and it was a little bit inconsistent, but like I think he's gotten better as the season's gone along. And he's just a big body. Like,
yeah,
he's a big body. He's physical at the point of attack. Like, there's real potential in that department, let alone everything else that he can provide for you.
Right.
Offensively and defensively.
I completely agree. When you talk about his frame, a lot of people think like, oh, your frame is how much you weigh, but it's a lot of different things. It's your frame of how much you weigh, but then it's also how broad are your shoulders? How long is your wingspan? What's your hand size like? And I'm usually one that's like kind of excited to see the measurables at the combine. I look at the combine profiles every year. I'm more intrigued than any other year for this draft's measurables in particular, because there's some players that are really high in the top five, top 10 that I'm interested in what their measurables are. Like VJ Edgecombe, you mentioned him earlier. I'm very interested to see what his measurables are going to be, how big he's, you know, how tall he is, what his wingspan is, his hand size. Same thing with some of the other guys that are even later in the draft, like a guy like Rashear Fleming, for example. Like, what is his wingspan? What is his hand size like? Is he, he's great point of attack defense in college. He's a outstanding 3-point shooter. I mean, 43% in college basketball is just unbelievable. And the consistency in which he shoots the basketball. I there's just not very many nights you look at the box score for Rashear Fleming and you see him shoot a bad percentage from three. I mean, nearly 44%, just unbelievable, unbelievable. His free throw percentage is kind of weird. He's only 69% from the free throw line, but he gives you the 8 rebounds. Is he a possible top 15 pick?
We've talked about it before, how like this is a really loaded freshman class. And
right.
With that, there are like some concerns about, as you and I have talked about in the past, like the physicality of some of these players who they have very high ceilings because of, you know, their age, their skill set. But obviously there's a lot of things to work on and there's a lot of questions that come with being a freshman, because not all freshmen, you know, are created equally. Some of them are still very raw in what they can do. And some of them are a little bit more polished, like a Jakachonis,
right,
for example, or a Cooper Flagg, for example. Obviously, that's the cream of the crop. But like, once you get into the middle of this draft, there's some questions. Like, we've had questions about McNeely. We've had questions about Jeremiah Fears. We've had questions about some of these guys that are getting a lot of buzz. I'm not saying that, like, yeah, we also think they're going to be top blank whatever picks. But there's still some inherent questions with some of these guys. Derek Queen's another one. Super duper skilled. Not great defensively. There's some serious questions with some of these guys. And then Fleming's one of those guys who, you know, this is his third year in college.
Right.
And like he has an exceptionally high floor, but then like, what's his ceiling look like? And I do think he has like a relatively high ceiling, which is why I think you're asking this question. Just from the stuff that he can do, like, you know, we've talked about the discipline when I've watched him, which isn't a super big sample. It's pretty small.
Right.
But when I've watched him, like, yeah, there's some times where, you know, gets a little out of control defensively.
Oh, yeah.
With the shot blocking, with the pump fakes.
Jumps at everything. But he's
an incredibly productive, impactful basketball player. And I know St. Joseph's this year has been a little bit of, like, a train wreck. I think they were projected to be, like, one of the best, if not the best team in the A-10, and that hasn't been the case at all.
Right.
But he's been like a standout player in that conference, and he's been someone worthy of consideration. I don't know about top 15, but again, as I'll say for a number of these guys, like it depends on the situation. There's a margin there. There's a floor and a ceiling for where these players get picked. And so like, sure, I could see Fleming B get like, 13, 14, 15. We'll have more answers for you after the lottery's decided, because some of these teams may prioritize players who are, older and who are impactful right away. Like, just a team that comes to mind that I can see doing that is like San Antonio.
Right.
Maybe not with Fleming specifically, but like a guy who has like a high floor and a high ceiling just because of who you're placing him next to. A guy who can come in right away and impact instead of like a project. Maybe Fleming is that guy. I think Fleming would work alongside Wemby hypothetically, but I'm just spewing that out there as like
I don't think he's a power forward at the next level. I think he's a wing.
that fine. That
Yeah.
I think either could work in there in
I
that
mean, he could be
system.
a small ball big, but like you'd be real. I mean, he's not really a big. He's
Yeah. I mean,
more
I'm
of a
just
wing.
thinking his, I think of him more as like a 3-4.
I don't even, but
So.
this is my thing. I don't even see him as like a four. Like, I think he's a legit wing, but coach could play us as a small ball guy. I just don't see him of that body type at all. He's not that, he's more of a long rangy wing.
Well, I mean, 6'9", 220, he can build into that a little bit
Little bit,
as a four. In the current stage of basketball, I think he can
but I'm
work.
talking about more of how he moves. You know what I mean? Like the way he moves, the way he plays. It's not like a, he's not really a big, in my opinion. Like I'll give you an example. Colin Murray-Boyles, not a wing in any form or fashion, right? 6'7", 230, pretty much the same size and weight as Fleming.
Fleming's 2 inches bigger.
I know, that's what I'm saying, but they're completely different style of movement, body movement, flexibility, lateral agility. I just think Fleming's a wing all day long, man. I think Boyles is clearly a big. I think, but he's an undersized big, and that's why
Yeah.
I'm not that high on Boyles. He's come on recently. He's had much better games in the past 5 games than he did at any point earlier in the season, in my opinion. I still need to watch some more of him recent, some of his recent tape, because I still don't see the hype of him getting anywhere near that top 15. Like I wouldn't take him. There's so many guys that I would take ahead of Colin Murray-Boyles. It's just unbelievable. Bringing me to another one of those guys that's getting a ton of buzz in the top 10. One Jeremiah Fears. I've seen people putting him as high as ninth overall. Like, is he a player? One, and this is where the measurables come in too. He's listed at 6'4", 180 pounds. Is he actually 6'4"? I'm not so sure. He's played better. He's been more physical of late, going to the basket, finishing through contact. His jumper still is rough, man. Still a rough looking J. He's only 18, though. His draft age, super high ceiling, but he turns the ball over a lot for only, I mean, he plays 29 minutes a game, almost 4 turnovers per game. I don't know, man. I don't see it as a ninth overall pick. What do you think?
I don't think I would do it,
Yeah.
but I can see why some teams would do it.
Go ahead and make that argument for me.
It's just because of it's because of the raw potential. If he builds into his frame just a little bit while developing that shot,
Yeah.
yeah, you're looking at a guy. I mean, he's already averaging what? I don't know the numbers off the top of my head. 18 and
15 a game,
six,
16 a game.
16 a game on how many assists?
Four assist.
For a guy that looks as raw as he is.
But it's four assist and 4 turnovers.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, I can see why someone who's that young.
Right.
Again, I'm not saying I would do it.
His
I
free
should
throw
make that
shooting is
clear.
good, though. He's like 84% from the free throw line. So that's a positive
Right. I think
sign.
that's the indicator that people are looking at for the shot. There is some low release, still some work to do with it. But like,
Kind of flings it too. It's kind of like
yeah.
he like kind of flings that thing.
But the thing is, it's like, considering his age and considering how raw he still is, and yet he's been a productive point guard at that level. Like,
yeah,
I wouldn't do it, but I can see why someone somewhere would be like, oh yeah, like I think, you know, we can throw a dart and see if this hits.
So here's my thing, right?
I wouldn't do it though. Right now, I think he should go back to school for another year.
I can agree with you on that, but if he's getting buzz in the top 10, he's probably coming out. And
I mean, if he's getting buzz, like if that's legitimate intel,
if that's the intel he's hearing, right, from his people he trusts. But here's the thing that I have with Fears. We've talked about, and I'm going to take Dylan Harper out of the equation because that's not fair to the rest of the prospects, right? We'll do Fears, Yakachonis, Filon, and Traore. How's that? Is that a good group? Is that fair for that range of prospect?
For him?
I mean, they're saying top nine.
People are saying top. We don't know what front offices are thinking.
I know that, but I'm saying, so that's the competition you got to compare him against. So, like,
Sure. I wouldn't know if I would do Yakachonis.
But. Yeah, Yakachonis is going to clear everybody on this list. Single player on this point. List. But per 36 minutes, right? Fears averages more points per game than Filon. We'll give him that. Traore, okay, everybody else averages more assists per 36 minutes than Fears. Everybody. Fears by far turns the ball over more than any of these guys.
Yeah.
He's right. I mean, he's the best thief out of them, but Filon's right there. I mean, Fears per 36 steals is 2. Filon's is 1.8. Like, LeBaron Filon's no joke on defense. Like, people don't understand.
Not all steals are created equally.
But, yeah, of course. Of course.
But I think Filon's better defensively than.
We're not going to talk about Kaspers, Yakachonis, and the efficiency metrics because literally every single one he cleans up in that.
Yeah.
Filon, Fears, and Troy are both terrible 3-point shooters. Like, they're both bad. Filon finishes better at the rim out of all three of those guys. Free throw rate. Fears clears free throw rate, man. He's right up there with Yakachonis in free throw rate. So with those things being said, I can see if you need a point guard.
Yeah.
You could reach, and that would be a reason why you'd reach and take Fears that high. If it's a need, right? So if you're one of those teams where you're like, it's not best player available, it's I need a point guard.
Yeah.
He's not a
or
bad
if
guy
it's like, remember last year in Oklahoma City's case with Topic, where it was like
pure luxury pick.
12 and like they're so stacked, they're just like, yeah, we're just gonna take this guy. He'll be out for the year.
Right.
We'll still take him in the top. I mean, he was obviously getting, you know, top whatever buzz, top five buzz. Whatever.
Top five, yeah.
Yeah, but like they're like, oh, this guy's just gonna fall in our lap and we're so redundant at that position that we know he's not gonna play for you. Obviously, much different circumstances, but I could see a team doing that.
What didn't
like, yeah,
Phoenix...
we're loaded at this position, we're gonna develop this guy, even though we're picking in the top, let's say top 12.
Right.
We'll just stack the position and see what happens. Like, I could see a team doing that with them.
Didn't Phoenix at one time have like Nash and Goran Dragic and Beno Udrich all on the same team? Like,
yeah.
It's like that situation. It's like, oh, we're stacked already, but hey, he's a good player. Let's just add him.
Right. Like, he's 18 years old. Like, again, I could see a team being like, yeah, he's 18 years old or 19 years old on draft night, however old he's going to be. And be like, yeah. Well, you know, we'll take this shot. We don't have to play him right away because we have X, Y, and Z at the position or whatever.
Right.
Again, not saying I would do it, but I'm just saying I could see a front office being like, why not take this dart throw?
Let's see. I agree. Because Jaeger Denman is falling like a rock down draft boards, right? Falling like a rock. And so you would have like Nolan Traore. So if you want somebody this ran a pro style system and it excels at facilitating, maybe you'd take Troy. But he's also tiny, dude. I can see him coming in. They list him at 6'3", 175. I don't think he's 6'3". He looks
good. What are you talking about, dude?
No, Nolan Torre.
Oh, no.
In France. Yeah, he looks tiny. Jaeger, they're going to be like, we're going to take Fears. Ben Seraph, I love Ben Seraph. I love his game. 6'5", 200, great positional size, good facilitator. That's a sneaky one. Ben Seraph is actually very, very sneaky. I could see somebody taking Seraph much higher than people think because of how good he is at getting to the rim, how quick he is, how good of a handle, unselfish, good facilitator, played in the pro style system. That's a tough one, man. Fears is good, though. That at 18 years old, that's tough. That's tough.
I'm looking at you, San Antonio. We know how much you love international players.
Man.
I'm looking right at you. Eye contact.
I mean, learning from Chris Paul, Seraph, Castle, Wemby. Jesus. Well,
Chris Paul's would be a free agent.
Oh, that's right. They're going
to bring him back. But
so Seraph, you
get to learn from Fox.
So Seraph, Castle, Fox, Wemby. Whoever.
Not saying, again, I'm just saying, we know how much they love international dudes.
That they do, man. Con Knipple, I didn't plan on talking about Con Knipple, but I have to. I have to. I can't. I cannot not talk about Con Knipple. I was watching that Duke game. They play tonight, by the way, UM. If I would have known and I wasn't feeling bad, I would have. Is it in UM? Or is it in?
Yeah.
Is it in?
I'm not sure.
Oh, I got to look that one up, because if it was at UM, I should go. I really
want to
go.
I think it's at UM because I saw. No, I think it is at UM because Duke practiced at the Heat facility yesterday.
There's no way there's still tickets for that. Maybe there is, because UM's not good. They're like 6
no,
and
UM stinks.
Whatever.
It's kind of funny. Like, now that they already announced that the UM's, I don't remember what his name is, but the Duke assistant is going to be UM's head coach.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be Duke's head coach, yeah.
So that's kind of like, I'm surprised they announced that mid-season. Like,
right.
Was the dude actually taking interviews mid-season? That's kind of a weird thing that I've never really seen happen. Anyway, but it's just, I find that kind of funny. Like, right after he's announced as the team's head coach, he's now playing against them.
Well, let me talk about Con Knipple real quick. And don't forget to like and subscribe if you're enjoying the program. We appreciate you. Feel free to chat, too, man. We take questions like E here. My friend Ian, he's in the chat. Don't forget to interact, man. We love interaction. So, Con Knipple, he was the best player on the floor outside of Cooper Flagg because he's a freak. Flagg just does whatever he wants, gets to wherever he wants to get to. He'll kill you in the pick and roll. He'll kill you off the dribble. He'll kill you finishing on the other end of the pick and roll. Defensive nightmare. He's a man amongst boys. But outside of that, Con Knipple was everywhere. It didn't show up in the stat sheet. He only had like 17 points or something, but he had like 8 to 10 deflections. He had charges, just getting his body in there, point of attack defense, attacking the close. I just can't tell you how many things that don't show up in the box score that guy does. The hustle stuff, diving out of bounds, swatting ball. Ball's back in bounds. I just think he's going to be an amazing player, even if he never gets to be a franchise like all NBA Cooper Flagg level player. He's going to impact winning no matter where he goes.
Glue guy.
I mean, but I think he's better than just a glue guy.
I'm not using glue guy as like a disrespectful, but you,
right.
Probably. I'm just saying like he does the glue guy stuff.
Right. Well, he's a super skilled player that also does all the glue guy stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what makes him special, in my opinion. Like, I'm going to have a hard time moving him out of the top 6. Like, I love Malawach. I love Trey Johnson. But I'm taking Con Knipple. Like, I love that kid's game, man. Love his game.
Let me see. I don't remember where I had. Well, hold on. Let me look this up really quick.
Yeah, go for it. I'm going
to
wax poetic more about how
I'm
he's
trying to
a knockdown
I think I
shooter.
Had him like in the same range as Trey.
Like if he's a legit 6'7".
Higher.
Like, he, if he's a legit 6'7", shooting almost 90% from the free throw line and 39% from three, or 38% from three, I don't see how you pass on that guy. Because he also doesn't ball over.
Last time I updated my big board, it's been probably a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Him and Trey are back-to-back.
Gotcha.
6'7".
Well, let's talk injuries.
6 and 7.
Yeah, that's exactly where he should be. That's exactly where he should be. In my opinion. I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. But that's my opinion.
Hold on. Before you go on. I kind of, not the same sentiment, obviously. I think Khan and Trey are two different players, but it bugs me the way people talk about Trey Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Oh, because yeah.
It's like, I see him get labeled as like a Cam Johnson, or not a Cam Johnson, a Cam Thomas. Like,
oh,
player.
Wow.
And it's just like,
that's not him at all.
It's not. It's the, because I think he's better defensively. I'm not even talking about the leadership part of it. He's right. Better defensively. He's a better passer. He's a better rebounder. He's more efficient. I know both of them led the SEC in scoring, and they were two of like a handful of freshmen who actually have done that ever.
Right.
But he's way more well-rounded than Cam Johnson. Cam Thomas. I keep saying Cam Johnson. They're on the same team. No, Cam Thomas. It's just like, and plus he's 18 years old. Like, there isn't, I'm not going to say there's like, there's not a whole lot of
this. This says he's around. 19. He'll be 19 at the draft.
Okay. There's more talent around him than like on Rutgers, for example, with Harper and Bailey, but like,
oof.
There still isn't a lot of talent around Trey Johnson, and he gets a lot out of those guys. And like, he's a good, like, I think he's a willing passer.
He is.
I think he's a solid, like, for someone who averages as many assists as he does, he's a like a good playmaker. It just doesn't always show up, whether it's because of misses, they pass, there's like a hockey, whatever.
Well, he's like their only offensive weapon. So they're asking him to look to score first. They're not asking him to facilitate first.
Right, but he can still do it.
Right. I agree with that.
And I think he, like, there are times when I watch Trey Johnson where it's like, okay, yeah, he got lost off ball on this possession.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Ugh. Spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
But like with him, there's a concerted effort. Like, you can see, yes, there's like he legitimately tries defensively, whether he's on the ball or off the ball. Like, yeah, sometimes he'll get caught out of position.
Right.
Sometimes he'll get bullied because of his lack of strength, but like he's not as big as some of these other guys. Like, yeah, sure, that happens. Fine. But he's still like at 6'6", 6'7", like.
Yeah.
He can do a little bit of everything in addition to all of the efficiency stuff from the mid-range, three-point. Like, again, I still want to see him be a little bit like a more consistent finisher and get to the free throw line more. But like,
for sure,
you can develop that once you get into the league. I'm not worried about that. That's not something that I'm worried about. But like, he gets talked about as a guy who's only like a scorer. And it's just like, no, that's just not. He does score. He scores as well as anyone in the SEC does at his age. Yeah,
absolutely.
That is very true.
Easily, too.
Not a knock at all. But at the same time, he does more than just that. He's more than just a scorer. Anyway, I'm off my soapbox.
No, I agree 100% with you. There's more meat on that bone. And the fact you can't overstate the leadership stuff, like the leadership stuff cannot be overstated, how good of a leader he is and how hard he works off the court, not just on the court. And that's going to be translating into his future rise and ascent in the NBA. One last guy before we get to injuries that I've been meaning to talk about for a while, and that's one Jace Richardson from Michigan State. Michigan State is a great place to develop as a basketball player, but it's not a great place to showcase how good you actually are when it comes to like translating to the NBA level. When he gets to the NBA, I think he's going to be a stud. He's going to be a freaking stud, dude. His advanced metrics are off the chart. Field goal percentage, 3-point percentage, free throw percentage. He doesn't turn the ball over. I just think he's going to be an excellent offensive weapon when he gets to the NBA. So that's a name to watch as we get closer to the draft. I think you're going to have a lot more and more buzz from Richardson, Jace Richardson. Before we get to injuries, the poll on Twitter, which isn't the most reliable place to get information these days, I have Dylan Harper is a lock at number 2 overall. Yes or no? 66% said yes. 33% said no. Ace Bailey fans?
There's so many people that like Ace Bailey.
I mean, I love Ace Bailey too.
I know, but I'm just saying there's a lot of people that you can find on the internet that love Ace Bailey. He's a very polarizing player.
So basically they will stand for like, did I got him number 1 overall? Like, who are these people?
These are just random people on the internet.
Gotcha.
But I have seen people say he's going to be better than Cooper.
Wow. I mean, I love Ace Bailey, but wow, that's a big statement. Between.
I want to make that clear.
That's a big statement.
Few and far between, but yes, there is a lot of people that like Ace Bailey, but you could probably also find a bunch of people because of his game who don't like Ace Bailey.
I mean, I love Ace Bailey.
Probably say that about a bunch of people in this draft too, outside of Cooper.
Right. True. Very, very true. All right, let's talk injuries. It's an unfortunate part of the game, but it's very important when it comes to the 2025 NBA draft. And I want your thoughts. Thomas Sorber has been shut down for the remainder of the season for the Georgetown Hoyas. Foot. Big man, 7-footer with a bad foot. Does this drop his draft stock, and does he go back to school?
I don't think he goes back, but I do think it takes a hit on his draft stock.
So you think this propels Queen, Newell, Boyles, all to be, and Danny Wolf to be drafted ahead of Sorber?
I mean, maybe not all of those guys, but I do think it takes a hit. Like,
yeah,
I would view him as a top 15 pick,
right,
heading into the draft. I think he drops out of that into like the top 20 or 25. There's a lot of variables to it though. Like, I'm asking this at a place of ignorance. Do we know if he's going to be healthy enough for the combine?
Don't know. I don't know.
So like, I think that could, you know, play a part in it if he is or isn't, because that can also affect like being able to work out with some of these teams. I'm sure all of these teams are going to have questions about his foot injury and how that's progressed and everything over the next, you know, couple of months. Because, you know, as you just mentioned, he's a 7-footer with now a foot injury. And that's, to some, that might be a yellow flag, red flag. I don't know.
Right. The medicals are going to be important.
I don't know how serious it is, but that's there's always a level of concern when it comes to a big man with a foot injury or leg injury or knee injury, regardless of what it is. And so I think that could affect, like, let's say a team is at 17 or 18.
Right.
They're choosing between a few different guys, but they don't like the medicals that come back with Sorber. Like, that's going to drop them down.
Yeah.
Not saying that will happen. That's just a very arbitrary hypothetical scenario, but like, that's something that could potentially happen.
Right.
So I think it does affect him. I don't know if he goes back to school though. Just because, like, I think he established himself as, like, I think he has enough tape to justify him being a top 20 to 25 pick. And maybe he is healthy by the combine or pre-draft workouts, and so he is able to work out with some of these teams. But I don't think he goes back to school just because I think he established himself. Maybe he does if he really, like, really has bad intel. And obviously, you know, the beginning of May will tell a lot of that tale. But as of right now, I think it does take a slight ding.
Right.
But I do think he is still, like, a legitimate prospect that obviously I would take, sitting here in this chair, that I would take.
That's right. Because you get paid the big bucks for sitting in this chair.
I get paid the big bucks for drafting players. But I still think he could. Like, I'm looking at Tankathon right now. They still have him 20. I don't know how much of that has changed since the recent news, if at all. But,
right,
like, I still think he could be, like, a top 20 to 25 guy in a perfect world.
Yeah, I don't have him falling below 20 in any scenario, to be honest. I mean, he's that good. I mean, he's strong. Right. He's got an NBA body. Like, yeah, I mean, he's super skilled on the low post, plays hard, rebounds, great screens, block shots, surprisingly gets steals somehow. I like him. Let's see. Boogie Flan, does he need to go back to school? Because he is falling on this draft board to the low 20s, like maybe 28. And not in my mind, because you know how high I am on Boogie Flan. But when you're out of sight and out of mind and there's so many young, talented freshmen, would it be better for him to go back to school, let people see him, get recent tape, and go in next year's class?
Maybe this one I struggle with because I also love him too. He is a small guard,
right? It didn't finish well at the rim earlier in the season, and unlike Fears, he hasn't had an opportunity to prove he can adjust.
Right.
Like, I thought he was going to be able to adjust. I thought he'd get better as the season went on, but we'll never know because he broke his hand.
Yeah, I just looked at it. It was a thumb injury.
Well, there you go. Broke his thumb.
Yeah, broke his thumb, but on his shooting hand.
Tough, right? That's tough.
It's tough. I could see a world where he does, where he goes back to school. Like, yeah. I think it would be more likely that he goes back to school than Sorber.
I can agree with that statement. I absolutely can agree with that.
Especially with NIL. Like, as we talked about,
yeah,
there might be a team somewhere. It might also be Arkansas.
Coach Cal got some connections, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, we might increase the NIL funds. That rookie scale contract, you may be making less with that rookie scale contract than you would with us for next year. Let's try to build up your stock.
Right.
Again, I'm just saying that could happen. I no idea, no intel. I don't have any sources. This water bottle has more sources than or as many sources. I could see a world though. Like, I could see a world where, like, a team takes, like, Phylon over him Or like they like reach for someone that like may not be as polished.
I not think Phylon does go. I think Phylon right now. I think teams are going to take Phylon over Flynn right now, this minute.
Me too.
Yeah. Same thing with Jace Richardson. Like, I think Jace Richardson, like I said, on any other team in the NCAA that had talent around them, I don't know if he'd be as efficient. Maybe he would be, but he'd put up way gaudier numbers, and he's putting up great numbers even at Michigan State. I mean, 11 points a game in a Tom Izzo offense that plays like it's 1995.
Yeah. I put this in our Discord the other day, but I wish they lean into him more offensively.
Yeah.
And I think they will as, I mean, I think they have as,
I was going to say, I think they have over the last like five games.
And I hope they do it just a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like I said this in another chat, but he might be a guy that I could see, like, he explodes for like 25 in a, like a tournament game. Like, I think he has like that kind of efficiency, that kind of, like that kind of game. Like,
yeah.
His in between touch, his obviously touch from beyond the arc, his footwork when he gets into the lane, his decision making.
Right.
Like, I think the more I watch him as the season's gone along, the more I'm like, this dude will be a better NBA player than he will be a college player. Just because of the context and the team that he's on. Not that Michigan State's a bad team or anything. They're one of the best teams in the country. But like, the role that he has and the opportunity that he has in that offense, I think will be much greater at the NBA level. And guess what? He'll be 18 on draft night.
Absolutely.
He's still very young. He hasn't turned 19 until October. Like, he's one of the younger players in this class.
Him and Cooper Flagg. Like,
yeah. Like, one of the kind of the floor that he's provided, especially as conference play has gone along, with the productivity, the feel, the efficiency offensively.
That's it. The efficiency is just unbelievable. Yeah.
Like, I think he'll only continue to grow as his career progresses. And so, yeah, I can 100% see a team take Jace Richardson over Flynn. I would take Jace Richardson over Flynn. Maybe. Actually, I don't know. But it's like, he's been that good.
Especially
over, like, you know, the last six or seven games or so.
How do you think Fear stacks up to Jace? Even though they're different players playing different positions, efficiency wise, I think Jace is going to clear him.
Blows him out of the water.
Yeah, I think he's going to clear him.
Way out of the water. Maybe in 5 years, Fears can get there, but not now. No way.
I mean, he's got a better true shooting percentage, effective field goal percentage, three-point rate, and three-point percentage than Jeremiah Fears at the moment. But he also has, like, 10% less usage.
Right, but
he clears him in the advanced metrics, too, though.
Huh?
He clears him in per offensive win shares per 40, defensive win shares per 40, offensive rating, defensive rating, offensive box plus minus, defensive blocks plus minus. It's all Jace Richardson.
It's just, like, there's no way. I mean, offensive rating and defensive rating.
Yeah.
The team's better.
Correct. But I'm just running down the stats.
Yeah. No, it's, I would take Jace over Fears yesterday. Like, there's just not a, again, I,
they have him mocked in the top 10. So you're taking Jace in the top 10.
No. no. but I would take Jace over Fears.
Yeah, Jace Richardson is right criminally now, underrated. He's criminally underrated. One of the reasons I knew Dwayne Wade was going to be a star, and this is something I tell anybody that evaluates picks. If somebody can get a triple-double in a college game and their athletic traits match, they pass the eye test, they're going to be a star typically in the NBA. Same thing happened with Ja Morant. Triple-doubles in collegiate tournament games are very, very difficult to come by. Very difficult to come by. So that is one of the key indicators. So watch out. If Jace Richardson puts up a triple-double in one of these tournament games, he's going in my top five.
He's not going to have a triple-double in one of these tournament games.
Not on an Izzo team, no. There's no
Respectfully.
Way.
I was going to say, there's a Hassan Whiteside joke to be made there about triple-doubles, but then you said if the athletic stuff... And
well, all
stuff,
the other stuff like, has to match, yeah. Like.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, oh, man, that...
That's right.
It's a Hassan Whiteside joke.
Colin Murray Boyles has a triple-double in a well, he's not going to make the tournament because their team is off.
No. South Carolina, what's the opposite of making the NCAA tournament?
The just NIT. It's called the NIT. That's what it's called.
Yeah. No, NIT, put some respect in the NIT's name. They wouldn't make that either. So it's not a big deal.
They wouldn't make that either. They've oh won, my God. They're SEC so bad,
no,
dude.
No chance they're making the NIT.
Dude, they're so bad. No offense to any South Carolina fans out there, but they're terrible.
Listen, if someone hasn't admitted to you at home, if you're a South Carolina fan, that your team is bad, well, guess what? Your team is bad.
Your team is
relative
bad.
Relative to the rest of your conference. I don't care if you could do it in whatever other conference. You're not a good team in your own conference, and you're not going to make the NIT.
Yeah.
Most likely. So, sorry. If you do, great. We can see you. But if you don't be surprised.
So, shout out to Coach Gio on Twitter. He proposed this. The Miami Heat should consider drafting Fears, re-signing Davion Mitchell, getting off the guard, and offering Naz Reid the full mid-level exception. And then somebody, Intelligent IQ Hoops, replied, I love Ben Sarif and Cam Jones. They might be better picks. I don't see Cam Jones as a better pick than Fears. I mean, I like Cam Jones as a prospect. I mean, 6'5".
They're
five,
like on the same plane.
Lefty yeah. Shooter.
It's the age.
The age is a big factor.
He's not older than me. He's close to being the same age as me, but like, I have him in the same plane.
Yeah. He's a good basketball player. Don't get me wrong. He's a good basketball player. I don't know if I'm taking Cam. I mean, Ben Sarif is very interesting to me. I keep saying that. You need to watch him so we can talk about him, because he's very interesting to me, man. I mean, when you see him play, you'll see what I'm talking about. But yeah, man, it'll be interesting which way this all shakes out for the Miami Heat. I know we're not specifically a Miami Heat operation here, but as a fan of that team and a contributor to the Five Reasons Sports Network, along with my co-host Matt Hanifin, they potentially could have two first round picks in this draft. Now, I've said, and we did this study where you weren't here, where I went through that chart, 98 out of the past 143 first round picks that made all NBA teams, 98 of them were first round picks, like top 10 picks. So like, if you want a franchise changing player, which I think the Miami Heat need, you got to get into the top 10. And the only way they may be able to do that is to trade into it.
Unless if they bought him out.
Well,
completely. Not saying they will, but like,
perhaps that could, I mean, the ping pong balls have to be kind.
Yeah.
So, but we'll see, man. Is there anything else you wanted to get to before I close out the show?
I just to add on to your last point, it just depends on who they're targeting.
Right.
And I said before, and I'll say it again, after the top four-ish five, like, yeah, this is as of right now, this is all, you know, this will be fluid over the next several months with, like, yeah, Cooper's going one, Harper likely going two.
Yeah.
Bailey and Edgecombe in some order, three and four. Or you could throw Jakaciones in there. Those three guys are going with the next three picks, most likely. Even if not that, even if that's not the case, even if it's solidified after the top four, not the top five.
Right.
I think the rest of this first round, especially after like the, like, you know, 6 through 15, 6 through 20, it can get really weird, dude.
Right.
Like, this is obviously a different circumstance because it's a different player. But like, Connect fell to 17.
Well,
I'm not
yeah.
saying that would happen with some of these guys in the top, but like, I can see a guy like Knipple or Trey Johnson falling.
There might be
these teams might reach for someone.
We want Derek Queen at number six.
Yeah, like some stupid like that. Like, you know, it's gonna happen. Maybe not like that, but like, well, you know, something weird's going to happen in that top 10.
Right.
And so there could be a chance that one or multiple of these guys start falling. And if the Heat are at 11, or if someone's at 11, like,
let me ask you this question.
One of these guys, because they also have their own board that they're trying to work with.
So then here's the question to you. If Fears is there at 9, what are you willing to give up to go get him?
Nothing.
10.
Nothing.
Okay, then this is my point about him not being a top 9, top 10 pick. He's not the guy you're willing to go up and get.
No. All due respect, no.
So really the only guys you'd be willing to go up and get are, of course, Ace Bailey if he fell. I don't know.
Oh my God.
Ace Bailey if he fell. Edgecombe.
He falls to like 7 or 8. I'm trading.
We'll do this. Kasper Shakachonis, he's the 5th pick. Would you trade to 5 to get Casp?
Yeah.
What would you give up to do it?
Both the picks plus something else. I don't know. That depends on the team.
Jovic?
Sure.
Jovic, Hawkes, or where? If any of those three, if the team's like, I want one of those three and I get to pick, would you be willing to put where in that mix?
Maybe. Yeah. I'll think about it.
I think Jakachonis is a franchise changing player.
I would do it for, this is again, me, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I don't like selling low on young players.
Right.
On some of your best young players.
Right.
I would trade Hawkes plus those two picks.
What about Jovic?
Sure.
Okay, just not where. You're on the fence about where.
I'm a little bit more on the fence about where, but I'd certainly consider it. I
get it.
Lower on him than most Heat fans.
Okay, I get. No. You know where I stand on it. Yeah. I just wanted to see where you were at.
Sure,
Con Knipple, would you trade up to get Con Knipple?
Depends on how, where, like, where is he falling?
6 or 7.
Well, I mean, that's the projected.
As low as 8 or 9. How's that?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You go up and get that guy. I don't even got to say Trey Johnson. We both know how we feel about Trey Johnson.
Yeah.
You're taking that guy. All right.
Also think that Trey Johnson is the most likely of them to fall. Because
I mean, he's a Heat guy. He is a Heat guy.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, the mocks are mocks, right?
Right.
We're projecting for whatever reason. They don't have, most of these guys don't have intel. I'm sure there's scouts and whatnot that have concerns about all these guys, but like you look at the mocks just for whatever reason. Trey Johnson's 8, 9, 10 in all of them.
Right.
Or at least in most of them, despite doing what he does. Like, if he fell to 11, yes.
Well, if he I'm talking about like if he falls like to like 8 or 9, not 11, like 8 or 9.
But I think like most people have him projected to fall.
I just don't see it. I don't see NBA scouts looking at Trey Johnson's game and be like, nah.
I would agree with you, but the way he's talked about in some circles on the interwebs, albeit. Yeah. They're not NBA scouts.
Right. Trey Johnson or Jace Richardson? Who better player?
Trey.
I agree with you 100%.
Trey.
100% I agree with that.
I'm taking Trey. I'm running to the stage if he falls to 10
Dude,
or 11 with Trey.
He is such a culture fit. Like, he literally is the guy that you want to carry, like, Heat culture forward. Like, he's that guy. Him and Bam would be fast friends. Him and Bam. But anyway, that's all I got for today, man. Tell the people where they can find you, follow, and get more of your work, Matt.
You can find me at NPH_824_ on Twitter. You could find me at hotonhoops.com. You could find me at vendettasportsmedia.com, mountainwestconnection.com, as well as playback.tv/5RSN, where Adele and I and others from the 5 Reasons Sports, we watch the Miami Heat really begrudgingly these days. Like, that we're just waiting for the season to tick down at this point. We laugh about the Miami Heat whenever they do dumb stuff, which is more frequent than we'd like to admit. We cry about the Miami Heat when they can't score a basket, which they just couldn't against Atlanta.
On Monday, it was bad. That was some of the worst basketball
anyone has ever seen, ever. Literally.
But we made it entertaining.
Yeah. Still, I wanted to jump through whatever I was watching.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, man.
I was going to add something else to that. I could not find something else to add to that.
The Miami Heat broke your brain, and I understand that 100%. I'm Digital Adele. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on YouTube at Hoops Profile, playback.tv/Hoops Profile, playback.tv/5RSN. We are here every Tuesday and Thursday. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget to like and subscribe. I'll see you next time.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.